And the honor of preaching, teaching, and hearing your word. Father God, I thank you for the truth. I thank you, Father, that you allow us now to listen and to be blessed. I thank you, Father, that the easy part is the hearing and the blessing. It's the conviction that comes before that's difficult. I ask you, Lord, to help us now with the conviction that comes first. In Jesus' name, amen. In Genesis 12:1 now, we're going to go through to the newest phase. We're going into the dispensation of promise. If you remember, as we're studying this series, the first phase was the stage or the dispensation of innocence. And that was Adam and Eve in the garden, not knowing anything, not having any previous experience, just totally innocent, having no bills and no problems, no job to go to, nothing, and only one rule to obey. Just one rule. And he couldn't do it. See, so if you think you're waiting until you get a little wiser and a little bolder and a little older or whatever you're waiting for, or until you make a little more money, you're getting a little better shape, or your kids grow up and leave, don't count on that. They'll bring some other creeps, call grandchildren before too long. But even if you could get to an absolutely ideal situation at home that was as good as the Garden of Eden, and there was only one rule, you would break that one rule. So innocent, not knowing anything, being ignorant, doesn't help, does it? From there, we went to the next dispensation, which was the dispensation of conscience. Ignorance or innocence means no knowledge. Conscience means knowledge from within, which means at that stage you think you know it all. And whatever you hear that doesn't agree with what you think is automatically wrong. Now, if you remember, that dispensation ended in the Tower of Babel, in which God said, "I don't understand you, son, and now neither is anybody else going to understand you." So no one could understand anybody else. Then from there, we went to the dispensation of human government. That's after the flood, when God told Noah, "I'm going to put you back in the position where you're in total control again." Same promises that he gave to Adam. Now, if you remember, Noah messed that up by getting drunk, and then his children compounded that by uncovering his nakedness. And God was upset at the way men were using human government. But although innocence ended with being thrown out of the garden, conscience ended with being the Tower of Babel, human government never ended. What God did is he chose Abraham and he added a promise to human government. He said, "I'm going to show you how to use this authority that I've given you." And he called a man called Abram, and he said, "In you, I'm going to give the example of how the authority that I've given you, coupled with the promise, will make you succeed." And that's where we pick up the story in Genesis 12:1. See how fast I preached those 12 messages we've already heard on those? Had you not heard them, you wouldn't have a clue as to what I was talking about them. Having heard them, you still don't remember, to be honest. Okay. Now comes the promise added to human government. Genesis 12:1. "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee." There's the promise that God is making now. "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Now, when God said all the families in the earth are going to be blessed through an Abram, obviously it couldn't be this Abram, because this Abram lived and died. But he said all families are going to be blessed by a man who gets out of his own country, away from his own kindred, and from his father's house, unto a land that God shows him. He says, "Now this man, Of him I will make a great nation. I will bless him. I'll make his name great, and he'll be a blessing. And then I will bless everyone that blesses this man, and I will curse everyone that curses this man. So you see, you better be careful how you treat this man. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. In other words, no families, including yours, gets blessed unless there's a man who left his own country, his own kindred, and his own father's house. I don't care how much Christian you are. I don't care how long you've been saved. These people had been Jews for a long time and still were nowhere because they were still doing according to daddy's rules. Verse 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. In other words, Abram did exactly what he was told. Now, in order for you to understand how human government works, and this might be a slight lesson in history, I hope you stay awake and pay more attention now than you did in school. If you do, you will stop being as ignorant as when you left. But in human government, there are three branches. And for it to work and be a democracy and be according to God's will, these three branches have to work together, but they must remain separate. One is the executive branch, that's the president. The legislative branch, that's the two houses of Congress. And there's the judicial branch. Those are the people that interpret and enforce the laws. They're the ones that accept or reject, in other words. Now, for purposes of human government in God's family, the executive branch, the chief, the commander-in-chief, the president, is God, not you. The legislative branch, the ones that makes the rules, is the church, the Bible, the Word of God. The judicial branch is us. And we judge. We either accept or reject. That's it. That's the only job you have in this church. That's the only job you have in God's family. That's the only job you have in God's government. Either accept this or reject it. Don't try to tell me how to preach it. Don't try to tell me if it's right or wrong. The executive is not your job. The legislative is not your job. The judicial is your job. Either accept it or reject it. That's it. It's the only job you have. And in your family, by the way, if you learn this, you would realize that God intended for there to be an executive branch, the husband, a legislative branch, the wife, and a judicial branch, the children, who either accept or reject. And that's why your family doesn't work worth diddly, because you don't keep those three programs separate. In most families, I find the same situation I find in our church family. You're the executive, and only what you like is what you hear. You're the legislative. When you don't like the rules coming out of here, you make your own. And you're the judicial. You get to judge whether you did it right or wrong. So you get home, and your wife is the executive. I don't care what you think, fool. And I'm going to make my own rules, and I think you're wrong. Well, now she's the executive, the legislative, and the judicial. It doesn't stop there. Then your children say, well, I want to be God too. I don't want to eat that. That's no good. That's ugly. So now they're the executive, and then they're the legislative. I have my own rules. Well, where did you learn that? My friends all do it this way. We have our own Congress at church or at school, and we passed some legislation. And then obviously we are the Supreme Court, and we've decided to accept our own rules. Can you see the insanity of this whole world? Amen. And where did it start? Right in your own church. You will not accept God as the executive.
But of course.
Somehow or other, you think you've been called to be the commander-in-chief. And that would be bad enough, but at least if you just be God, we'd have something going, because as God, you stink. But if I could just say, okay, if you want to be God, please, just be God. And the whole universe, your universe, would crumble. But no, you want to be God overseeing everything. And then you become the legislative branch. You make all the rules. Whatever you don't like, you just change. And then it doesn't matter how it turns out, because you're the Supreme Court too. And then you can rule any way that you want. Now, God said that's essentially the problem with humanity. He said that's why I had to confuse their languages so that no one could understand anybody else. They live in confusion. You go to work and your boss doesn't understand you. You don't understand your boss. You can't get along with the people around you. If you're self-employed, your customers and you just don't seem to be on the same channel. There's something wrong. Well, why? Because you're living in confusion. And the reason you're living in confusion is because you have taken human government totally upon yourself, exclusive of the promise. And God said, get out of your own country, get away from your own kindred, and away from your father's house into a land that I will show thee. And remember now, country meant out of your own way, your own habits, your own wilderness. You're roaming around in circles doing the same thing. You have the same problems today you had a year ago. You had the same problems a year ago, you had the year before that, and the year before that, and the year before that. You are in the wilderness. Why? Because you're in your own country, in your own way, not recognizing human government in light of the promise. You'd rather do it your way. Country also, if you remember, meant, or rather the next one was kindred. He said, get out of your country. Get out of your own way. Your way of doing things, which is the cycle. And also get away from your kindred. And if you remember, kindred meant being the son of a woman in travail. And as I said at the last service, we've all come. I know every one of you in here. And either you lied to me when you told it, or you're lying now, but you are the son of a woman in travail. Travail meant everything is hard, very hard work, toil. It's an instrument of torture. It's very hard work. It's labor pains. See, some of you dealing with the Lord are still having labor pains. You haven't had one way or the other. You're just suffering. Now, God says even a woman is smart enough not to go much beyond 9 months. Some of you like to stretch it out. But he said even a woman knows enough to call it quits after 9 months. But some of you are still in labor, not able to have it one way or the other. You can't make up your mind. But that's just the way your mama was. My mama, too, for that matter. You can remember that your mother told you how hard everything was because your dad wasn't doing his job. How mean your dad was because he drank or he did this, and how hard her life was because of him. That's a woman in travail. And you grew up in that kind of a house. That's why you're married to a woman who complains about everything. Everything's too hard. That's a woman in travail. You're in your own kindred. You're trying to run your own life. And I don't particularly care whether you like this or not. Just accept it or reject it. It wasn't intended for you to like or dislike. It was intended for you to accept or reject. That I can deal with. The other I do not understand. Finally, he said, you got to get away from your father's house as well. Father, if you remember, meant any quality or characteristic of personality that you inherited from your father, such as self-discipline and moral strength. Pattern of behavior. He said, you got to stop acting like your dad. In other words, what God was saying, essentially, it's all in the family, meathead. Your whole problem is locked up in your family. Has nothing to do with where you're at now. It has nothing to do with what you've come into. It's what you haven't come out of. So now in God's family, he says, you got to get out of your way. You got to get away from this woman in travail, that everything is a struggle, and you got to get away from your father's house, his reputation, his way of doing things. Well, if you want me out of there, Lord, where do you want me to go? See, God says, I'll provide a family for you. So he said, get out of your way. So where do I go? Go to the way. Jesus Christ, a new way of doing things. Okay, well then, who's this woman in travail? The church. The church is the bride of Christ. The church is always talked about as the woman. See, that family from hell that you came from isn't going to fit with this family from God. It just isn't going to fit. Because you see, there's no room for the way and your way. There is no room for your mama and the church. Besides, I thought you were a grown man. What are you doing with a mama yet? A parent, yes. But a mommy, I don't understand that at all. And finally he said, get out of your father's house. Well, what father do I have now? God the Father. He said, call no man on this earth father. So the thing that he has replaced with your way is Jesus, with your woman in travail, the church, and for your father and his habits and reputation, God the Father. However, you have this family from hell that you haven't left yet, in which the way is you. That's all you want is your way. The woman is your mother, and the father is the father's reputation, his way of doing things. So you see, there is where we're set up. That's where we start. Now, in order to understand what the problem is here, I want to share something very important with you. He said, you got to understand what a father is, what a mother is, and what children are, and the relationship between. Or you're never going to be happy in your family, you're not going to be happy in the church family, and you're not going to be happy in God's family, and sure as hell you're not happy in that family from hell that you came from. So the effect is you're not happy. Why? Because in that family you came from, nobody was dad. There was no father. Why? Because father means a person regarded as a male parent. Your mommy does not qualify for that. But father also means the originator, the founder, the inventor, the one who protects and rears, the one who brings things into being, the one who takes the responsibility for everything in the house. That's the father. Even George Washington didn't have any problem with that when they called him the father of our country. So you see, when you are the father of something, that means you are credited with all its existence. You are credited with it coming into being, which means you also have the responsibility. That's what God intended now. God intended for you to have a relationship with God the Father, in which he's the originator, not you. He's the founder and the inventor, not you. He protects and rears, not you. He brings things into being, not you. And he takes the responsibility, not you. So you shouldn't have any trouble tithing or being in subjection to your wife or to your husband or any of the things that God requires, because he takes the responsibility. But you don't have any more confidence in God the Father than you do in that jerk that lived at home with you that you call dad. And I know why you still don't talk to your dad, because you're just like him. Amen. So you haven't changed. It's still the same situation. Now, what happens when a man, and I get bombarded with this all the time. God said, you will have a father, and it's going to be the Father in heaven. But if you go in the dictionary, one word from father, the next one, is called father image. Here's where you substitute. This I get all the time. Father image means a person substituted in one's mind for your real father, and then make that person the object of the emotions, the anxieties that you have against your real father. That's father image. That's a man that has not accepted God as father. So now you need a father image. You're sure as hell not going to go home and give your dad the hassles you give me. You need a father image. You need someone that you can vent your anger, your emotions, your criticism, your judgments against. You need a father image. You need someone who's in position, someone who has the responsibility, someone who has the authority, someone who's the head of a family. That's what you got to have. You need someone like that so that you can vent your poison and your anger on them. And that's why I told you since you first came into this church, get right with your dad. You weren't called here to judge him. I don't care what he was or what he is or what he's going to be. You love him and forgive him for what's wrong and love him for what's right. You're not God. But all of those of you that haven't done that still are laboring with the father image. And every man that has any authority, immediately the minute that person makes a decision that you don't like, you substitute. That person becomes a father image. In which case then everything, every difficulty you've ever had unresolved with your own dad, you now vent on this person who is the father image. God is not your father image. He is your father. I am not your father image. I'm your pastor and your brother. That's it. You're a husband. You're not a father image. And ladies, by the way, you're not a husband either. And so therefore, your husband should not be your father image. I cannot help it that you married someone who's exactly like your father. That's understandable, but that's not excusable. Now, the difficulty, if you would get it right with your dad, then this man you're married to would no longer be a father image, and you wouldn't have to vent the anger and the emotions and frustrations against him that you really have against your own father. And by the way, your employer is not your father image either. He's your employer, just that. But you see, an individual from a psychological point of view who has difficulty with authority will always vent whatever angers, frustrations against that individual that they had against the person in authority when they were growing up. Compound the problem by some of you who were raised in a house where your father was not only not your father, your mother was your father. And I don't know who your father was. I don't either. Mine left. He was nothing to me. But you see, this is the difficulty. This is what God is saying. Abram, you have a problem. See, Abram's dad was into idolatry. And you see, one of the things that was the shining glory of all fathers then is no different than that. And that is for your kids to come out just like you. Following dad's footsteps. Chip off the old blockhead. Nothing made a father happier than that. Do you think this was easy for Abram to say, not only am I not going to be with my father, I'm not going to follow him into idolatry. As a matter of fact, I'm moving. Well, where are you going, Abram? I don't know. All I know is God said, pack up and leave. I'll tell you where you're going when you get there. You'll know where you're going when you get there. But what if I don't like that church? Who asked you whether you liked it or not? What if I'm not happy there? Who asked you whether you're happy or not? Are you happy where you're at? No. Well, then what can't get any worse then, can it? But you see, with just a father, having God as our father, we're lacking a mother. See, God does not want you to... See, the problem is you're being raised again or trying to be raised in an incomplete family. Even if your parents were both there while you were growing up, which most of us didn't have that, but even if they were both there, one of them was a poor excuse for a parent. And in most of the cases, it was your dad. It was your mother trying to be both. So you see, not having a father... Or having a father but no mother is still just as bad. So he said, you have to leave your mother as well. Now, I'm not talking about don't talk to your parents anymore. I'm saying there's a difference between someone being a parent and someone being your mommy. There's a difference between someone being your parent and someone being your father. If they're your father, they're still originating, they're still bringing things into beginning, and they're still responsible for everything you do. Now, for those of you that have fathers that think they still make your decisions, Why don't you try passing on your bills to them and see how they like being responsible for you as well as having authority over you? And they won't like that. But now God says you have to get away from your own mother. Well, you need a mother. And the mother is the church. I don't know how much more explicit it can be in the Bible that the church of the living God is the woman, the bride of Christ, called the seed of the woman. It's called the church. It's called the woman. It's called, in every instance, it's referred to in the female gender. Why? Because the church ought to have the same functions in your spiritual family that your mother should have had in your physical family. So now let's find out what mother means. It means a woman having the responsibility and authority of a mother. See, God didn't tell you to leave that and not have a father or a mother. He said, leave that father and take on the heavenly father. Leave that mother and take on the spiritual mother. Well, mother means someone who looks after and cares for you as a mother does. Someone who feeds and nurtures you. I said it before, everybody in this church, and even those that are gone now, I can remember like it was yesterday, oh my God, that man preaches straight out of heaven. Oh, aren't those wonderful tapes? Let's take tapes. Give me 7,000 tapes. I'm sending them all over to Korea, Thailand, anywhere. I rented a plane. We're going to put it skywriting. Oh, this is wonderful, wonderful stuff. Until I start speaking on food. As long as it was just a father that was far, far away, and a mother who was letting you get away with murder while dad was at work, you loved me. But the minute I learned that the church is the mother and the church should see to it that you be doing what the father said while the father's gone. Just like your mommy didn't do. So you expect this church to treat you like your mother did. God said, I'm going to prepare a place. I'm going to work. You know what I want done, woman, church, feed my sheep, take care of them. And don't change my rules, by the way. Feed and nurture. Now, you don't go out and go off to work and tell your wife, well, let the kids go shop and let them buy whatever they want. Let them eat what they want. Give them the money. Let them go to Vons, wherever they want. You know what they'd come back with. M&Ms. What else? So you see, you make it the responsibility of the woman to take care of the dietary needs, the nurturing needs of the family. But you are an idiot. You want to be God and you want to be the mother too. You want to tell me what you should eat. I don't like that kind of preaching. Who asked you? Eat your vegetables and shut up. I don't really care whether you like this or not. Father does. And he told me what kind of diet you should have. And I got the backing right here. It's not something I dreamed up. So see, the problem here is now the church does not have the function that it should have in your life. Its function in your life is exactly like your mommy's function. And your mommy was always against your dad. And push comes to shove, she would side with you. And that's your difficulty with me. That's your difficulty with this church. You want me to be your mommy. No, I'm supposed to be a mother, one who nurtures. And some would say, well, finally we agreed with something. You are a mother, all right. That's all right. I can laugh about it, too. Make me know, never mind. So you see, the responsibility of the church is the same responsibility that your mother should have had when you were growing up. But now in your family, your wife, who's the mother of your children, is having the same problem with her family that you're having with this family, that you're all having with that family, that you all originally had with the families that you came from. And somehow or other, as simple as this is, I do not understand. With a pointed head, you would think sooner or later, we would all get to the same point. But somehow or other, it doesn't work that way. So now God says, get away from your father He substitutes the Heavenly Father. Get away from your woman in travail. He gave you a church that cares for you and loves you and feeds you, by the way. Not only spiritually, but don't lie, feeds you physically as well. Not a one of you here that say can say at one time or another, if nothing else, I took you to lunch. But so he substitutes the church as the mother. Can you see when Jesus said, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven? Can you see the correlation now? The relationship that you have with God as a father, with church as a mother, is exactly the same thing that goes in the family that you're in now. Identically the same. And if you're going to change your family life, you're going to have to change your church life first. Now he said, you also got to get out of your way. See, I'm not in your way. You're in your way. So we look up the word way. What is this problem? What is this thing that God said? Son, you, Abram, you got to get away from your dad. His way of thinking. You've got to get away from this mothering that you've had. And then finally he said, now you got to get away from your way. And way means your own particular path in life. All children want their own way. Way means your own course of habit, your own course of conduct, what you like, how you like to do it. And God says, therein lies your difficulty. You're insisting on living only the way you want to do, doing the things you enjoy, doing the things you like. Therein lies your problem. Now, I didn't say that to Abram. God did. But I am saying it to you. But see, right now, all I'm saying is, you don't have to accept this or not. Are you smart enough to realize, do you have this much intelligence? I am saying, God said it to Abram in Genesis 12:1. Are you smart enough to get that? Fine. Then at least we know that I'm repeating it just the way that it's written. Now he says, get out of your way. Way means your method or manner of doing something or anything. Your characteristic manner of acting or doing things. Way means doing what you desire, doing what you wish, and doing what you will. See, God says, therein lies the difficulty. This is the way you're acting with me. This is the way your children then act with you. And this is the way when you get out in the work and in the real world, everybody treats you the same way. Everybody wants to be the executive, the legislative, and the judicial. They want to have you like this. Nobody out there cares about you. They have only one thing in mind, what they want, their way, and their desire. And no one out there is mothering you. Don't lie. Nobody out there treats you like God does. Yet you will flock to that and say, oh, the world, yes, that's exciting. That's what I want out there. I don't see why, but if you do, that's fine. I'm not here to dispute that. All I'm here to tell you is God said, you got to get out of there. And that's why Jesus told us, by the way, how to pray. It's called in Catholic circles the Our Father. But for purposes of our church, I've taken the liberty of slightly paraphrasing and changing it to see, because people don't like, some people don't like the way I preach. And I've tried to find something in here you like, and you don't like anything in here. So please forgive me, Father, for the next few minutes. I'm going to kind of deviate a little bit, and I'm going to give you something that I think you'll like. Pray after this manner. Our Father image, which art in earth, cursed be thy name. It's exactly the way you get along with your dad. You curse his name right and left, and he does you too. So, Father image, which art in earth, cursed be thy name. My kingdom come, and my will be done in church as it is at home. Ha, ha. You can forget about it. I don't know about your home, but it's your will is never going to be done in this church. My will be done in church as it is at home. Give us this day our daily poison, drugs, sugar, and flattering lies, and forgive us our debts as we refuse to forgive our debtors and turn them into Dwayne. Forgive us our sins as we blast others for theirs. Guide and lead us into temptation and deliver us from good. For mine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, and theirs is the responsibility forever, or my mom will shoot. And then, of course, we have to end the prayer. And we'll end it this way. Hey, Mom. Yeah. And hella to you. Well, hella to you, too. See, unfortunately, there's only two sides of the coin. You can't live anywhere else but these two sides. There is nothing else. There's good and evil, right and wrong, black and white. Right and left, up and down, in and out. There's nothing. There's no third alternative. So what is the problem? You curse your Father's name on this earth. So as a result, anyone who has authority, you curse his name. And you curse God, by the way, the same way. Well, how do you curse God? God said, keep the Sabbath holy. And you say, forget it. God says, you rob me in tithes and offerings. And you say, I can't trust you as far as I can throw you. If I tithe, we'll starve to death. Why? We just can't make it. You're a liar. I've got to work 8 hours on one job, 5 or 6 on another one, plus weekends, and I still don't have enough. You're a liar. I don't trust you. I can't give. And then I say, well, look here. A wife who's been on unemployment for 6 months, and I'm 4 weeks behind in my paycheck. Got a horse you want choked? Look. Look, they're not ones. Come and count them. 50s. From a God that you say can't take care of you. And I don't work 2 jobs. Oh, I do some extra work, but I give the money away. I do it to help somebody. Because my God is not a liar. You are. You curse the Father in heaven when you say you're lying. You can't take care of it. Well, I'm here to testify against you. He can take care of it, and he does take care of it. As a matter of fact, you make me mad. I may have Karen quit just to show you. May have to get these pockets enlarged, though. Father, image, which art in earth, cursed be thy name. I can't trust you as far as I can throw you. And because of that, my kingdom come and my will be done. Not only at home, but in church too. See, that's the problem. That's why you're not happy. You go to work, you try to run everything. You come to church, you try to run everything. You go home and I'm too busy to run anything. I think you got it backwards. The place where you're supposed to be responsible, you're not. And then you come here and you want to tell me? And then you want to go preach to everybody else about what you think? I think I can handle that job. Thank you. Give us this day our daily poison. I want to eat the way I want to eat. I don't care. And I don't want to be told the truth. I want flattering lies. I love you. Do you love me? Oh, sure, I love you. Do you love me? Oh, yes, I love you. You're both lying to one another. You know why I know you don't love one another? Because you don't love the Lord. That's why. You know why I know you don't love the Lord? Because you haven't done what Abram was told to do. You're still living in your family from hell. Forgive us our debts. But I want to collect everything that I'm owed. Please, God, don't hold me responsible for anything. But if I ever catch Reuben in a mistake, if he ever says something I don't like, then I'm going to rip him apart anytime I can get. Forgive me, but just let me at him. I live at 174, number 10. Come and get me anytime you want. I'm here right now. You don't have to go tell someone else what you're going to do. Here I am. Do it. Here I be. Meathead. See, God does not give me the spirit of fear. I'm not afraid of you. And I'm talking to those demon spirits in you. There's a devil in there. And let me tell you about the devil is more righteous than you are. Let me tell you something about the devil. The devil will blame you for what you did. That's evil incarnate. That's blackness. That's death. That's the incarnation of evil will say, I'm going to blame you for what you did. But there's people in this room go a step further. They blame me for what they did. At least Satan, the devil, evil incarnate, will say, you did it and you should die. But you will say, I did it and you should die. I did it and you should be cut down. I did it and you should be talked against. You're worse than the devil. You're of your father. And God isn't saying that to judge you or to criticize you. It's a flag going up and say, wake up. Can't you see where you're at? Can't you see how your acting has nothing to do with God the Father? Can you see that you have no respect whatsoever for the wife, for the church, for the woman? It's the same thing that happens at home. You show me a man who has no respect for this woman, and I'll show you a man with no respect for the woman at home. Absolutely none. Your word means nothing at home because it means nothing here. And God is saying, son, look, I'm trying to tell you something. If God wanted you out, he'd have never called you in the first place. He's trying to tell you you're welcome, but they're not. He's trying to tell you, he's trying to appeal to you that you are killing yourself, you are killing your wife, you are killing your children. But you think you know everything. And the fact of the matter is, you don't. Your final threat is, stop or my mom will shoot. Hey, mom. And hella to you. Forgive us our sins and lead us into temptation. I hate this church. I hate everything about it. That's fine. Judge it however you want. But why are you trying to lead other people the same way? I don't understand that. Maybe it's lonely where you're at. Could that be it? Because it's a demon spirit from hell. That's why. And you are a child of God that has a place in heaven. And what's keeping you out is your desire to hang on to that hell-bound demon spirit who's more evil than its father. A father who at least, and you know why Satan is that way? Because he's under control. So you're not going to lie about my children. So he said, well, they did it. Yes, they did, but I paid for it. But see, God doesn't have you under that control. So you've gone a step further. You blame others for what you're guilty of. You blame others for your sin. Not even the devil does that. And yet you sit back and somehow in your twisted mind, you think you're right. You think God called you to criticize and punish and judge and accuse the brethren. And I find no scripture for that whatsoever. Now, what statement, what argument am I making here? I'm trying to get you into the family. I'm trying to tell you, you need a father who's in heaven. You need a father who's geared himself and promised to protect you and rear you and take care of you and provide all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And then he said, now I'm going to work now. Church, you take care of me. I left you plenty of money. Feed them. I left you plenty of wisdom. Give it to them. take care of their diet, take care of their needs, and when they get out of hand, tell them they're out of hand. But don't you do anything, you just tell me about it. I'll take care of them when I get back. You wait until your dad comes home. I'm a fink. I'm going to tell him the minute he shows up. I'm going to tell him. In fact, I'm telling him right now, but I don't know if he's going to wait till he comes back or what he's going to, but I'm not holding back. See, I'm telling God. I don't know who you're telling. Please tell God. If you have to say something about me, tell it to God. Tell it to Jesus. And then finally says, for mine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, and theirs is the responsibility forever. And then finally we have the real thrust of your life. It's mommy. And I understand that. I came from the same background. You think it was easy for me to make the transition from where I was to where I am? I never even ever liked many of you. None of you, to tell you the truth. Never have really liked any one of you. But I love every one of you. So you see, there's a difference between loving someone and dealing with the reality of who they are and what they are. Now, if I had put myself in the bind that you're in and say, I'm going to treat them according to how they treat me, I'd be throwing bricks at you from here because you deserve them. And incidentally, the bricks would be justified coming back. But I told you, I'm going to treat you as Christ loves the church and gave himself for it. That's some real love there. Christ said, I love the woman so much. Instead of going to heaven, I'll go shopping with her. Oh, I know it's hell to go there. I don't like it either. Sunday morning? See, we don't have it that hard. God says, Jesus said, look, I left heaven. I left all the riches. I left everything there. I took on a position, a lowly position, in which people thought nothing of spitting in my face. That's the position that I took because I love this woman. I love my wife. And one day the Father's going to give me that wife perfect, unblemished, unwrinkled, totally in subjection, totally beautiful and flawless. Why? Because I love my wife and I gave myself for her. I don't lie to her. I don't steal from her. I don't cuss her. I don't put her in subjection like she's some kind of a dog. I love my wife. I gave myself for her. And God said, that's why you're getting an unblemished, perfect, wrinkle-proof, wrinkle-free, dry-cleaned wife. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. Now, if Jesus Christ, listen to me, man, you that bitch and moan about your wives, listen to me now. If Jesus Christ had to go to the extremes that he did to make his wife pure, what makes you think you don't? What makes you think it isn't going to take something on your part in terms of your responsibility to make her pure? Now, I thank God he doesn't require that we go to the cross. In fact, he doesn't require that you do a thing. All he wants you to do is be willing. That's all. And he said, now, if you are willing to love her like I love the church and gave myself for it, I promise you a wrinkle-free. Now, that might not mean a lot to you much, but in about 15, 20, 30 years, you're going to be happy and it's punch that you have a wrinkle-free wife. No blemishes, no more acne, no more pimples and things. That's amazing, the self-restraint that I'm able to demonstrate at times. Now, if God required that of Jesus, and he requires that of you, doesn't he require it of me too? This is the woman. Now, which one of you is man enough and stupid enough to make the accusation that I have put myself before the church? I have worked here without pay. I have worked here and worked outside and paid to keep the thing going. I never put myself first. I've been as much as 20 weeks behind in pay because I keep you first. Now, how does God reward me with that? With a wrinkle-free wife. Now, some of you, however, who will not allow that, don't enjoy it. And I'm not here to judge that. All I'm here to say, if you want to be wrinkled, be wrinkled. Just don't wrinkle the rest of the family, please. You want to be wrinkled, be wrinkled. And I'll close with this. I'm as tolerant as they come. Badmouth me all you want. You're only cursing yourself. Speak whatever you want. You're entitled to it. And I'll not say a word. I'll hold my peace. I will keep it to myself. But you start messing with the sheep, and you're going to have some problems. Big time. Because I don't keep my mouth shut. And I'll do the talking from the pulpit first. If you don't like that, call me. I'll tell you to your face. I don't care how you want it. Don't mess with God's sheep. Don't do that. That's not good. That's a no-no. Don't do that. If you have frustrations and angers and emotions you want to vent, do it on me. And you certainly know how to do that already. Just stay away from the sheep. Don't mess with them. Because you see, that brings out the shepherd in me. And I have some power, friend. I can speak the word of God. And I'll speak it against what you're doing and what you're saying. And you'll be, the curses that you're sending out are the ones you're going to receive. And I'm just asking you for your own good. Don't do that. I don't have to do anything except sit there and watch you curse me and watch you be cursed in the process. That's why I tell people, you want to be blessed? Bless me. You want to get something? Give me something. Blasphemy. Liar. It's not blasphemy when I reach in my pocket and give you. I didn't say, let's take it by faith and you do it first. I did it first. See, so I'm not asking you to do anything that I've already tried and proven to you right in front of your face. And I'm asking you again, please, for the love of God, please, if Jesus Christ means anything to you at all, start showing some respect for the woman. Start showing some respect for the church. Start showing some respect for God's bride. For God's sake, can't you see the correlation? Can't you see that you ought to see your wife more than just on Mother's Day? See, that's something people don't like to deal with, but I don't care. The minute I step behind this wooden thing, I'm nobody's friend. Amen. That's right. Now, after I step down here, have at it, and I don't know what I'm talking about, and it's fine. But when I'm back here, I'm telling it the way that it is. Amen. And I'll tell you something else I'm man enough to admit. 90% of what I said tonight applies to me. And the other 10% probably does. I'm just not smart enough to know it yet. But I got my 90-10 straight, don't I? Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Okay, Bull. Court's adjourned. That's my bailiff there. He